Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line this evening my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, we are.
Praise God. We thank God for another Thursday. We made it through another week. And we just give God the glory for just watching over and keeping us. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And God, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, it's been another week where we've been blessed to be able to maintain and still be able to have the shelter and still be able to have the food and still be able to have a reasonable portion of health and strength. And old Deacon used to say, the blood is still running warm in my vein.
Amen.
So we thank God for so many times we take the little things for granted. And
that's
I was
crazy.
Just thinking about the times where we would take things for granted about the church building. And you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. And it's something to realize that, you know, you miss the church building, you miss the people in the church, you know, you miss the fellowship, you miss the seeing how the Spirit just moves in people's lives when you're in that corporate worship together. And now it seems like you used to take it for granted, but now you miss it. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. It's funny that you should say that because we had to take a trip up to the church today to get some of our financial records and everything that we can continue to take. Pastor and I went up there, And it was, when we went in there, it was like, oh, it was nice to be in there again. And you're right, it really made me appreciate it more going in there. But by the same token, not having it has made us appreciate and depend on God more because our services through Zoom, through video conferencing, which means that, you know, you don't have those same type of distractions that you necessarily have in the building. So everybody's really on one accord, pumping each other up and really focusing on the glory of God, recognizing that we can't, you know, what's most important is not the building, but the people within the building. But you're right. You won't recognize those things until you've gone without it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. G.
Well, I think both of you are correct. It's just like Anita was saying, you don't miss the water until the well runs dry. And too often, you know, people, like you said, they take it for granted. You know, it's like the building is always going to be there. But there's a big difference when you don't have your building and you're trying to keep the spirit and everything alive while you worship the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I think more people are getting into the Word, and I think a lot of the things of, you know, the show, the putting on the airs and the dressing up and the formalities and the pomp and circumstance, all of those things are on the sideline right now, and it's just the Word, and you know, you're in tune with the Spirit and with God, and I believe that is more beneficial to us, Sheila G.
Amen. You're right, because then the focus, the main focus, is on God. Then it makes you think about, you know, open up your mind and your heart to the Lord as to what's the best way that we can worship and glorify you. And then when you start doing that, the pomp and circumstance goes away. It is truly the fellowship within the people, still glorifying, magnifying, lifting up the Lord, and hearing, you know, the miraculous things that have happened, especially when we're going through this trial. I mean, we have a major, 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 major praise breakthrough right now, because, as you know, we've been praying for Tamika because she had received the virus, and she had been in the hospital. And she's home now, and she was on our prayer night.
Hallelujah.
Yesterday, and, you know, we were giving God the glory. And, again, God provided an avenue for us using Zoom so we could do the video conference to see her, to see how far God had brought her. And her testimony was, you know what, I give all God all the glory. And thank everybody for the text, the calls, the videos, the everything that was sent to her, because she was by herself and isolated by herself. And that's what I mean by it has caused us to refocus, not so much on the things around us, but on the Holy Spirit and the power of God.
Amen. And the people of God, you know, the people of God have the Spirit of God inside of them. And, you know, that's a segue to our study. Is because of the Spirit inside of us allows us to behave like the children of God and do the things of God. And in our study in Acts 9, the Apostle Paul, or his name was Saul, and he got converted and they started calling him Paul. But because when Ananias laid his hands on him and he received the Holy Spirit, now he has the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost inside of him, and now he can behave like a child of God. And and Dr. G, that's one of the things you always reiterated, is that people who have really been converted, that you can tell by the way they act. They act like the Holy Spirit is on the inside. That's not to negate the fact that we still live in the flesh. People that have the Holy Spirit on the inside, somewhere along the line, if you're out of line or you do something that's contrary to God's will, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you.
Right.
And you're going to ask God for forgiveness. You're going to ask people for forgiveness. And you can tell the people of God by the way they act. They act godly because of the Holy Spirit is in their life. Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right. And I was sitting there thinking while you and Sheila were talking, this whole coronavirus, if nothing else, it's it's showing people, those who are serious and for real and those that aren't. Ones that are not to their faith, they're being shown out. They're being called out. And the ones that are, they're focused. They can't do anything but focus on the Lord. Mm. And especially those that may get the virus. And as Sheila was saying, she was up in the hospital by herself,
yeah.
Her and the Lord.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's showing those that are real and those that aren't.
Amen, amen. And they call this the Book of Acts, the Book of the Holy Ghost. And as Luke was writing during this time, he emphasized the things that God's people were doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so just to recap, if we go back to chapter 9, Book of Acts, chapter 9, and we go back to verse 17, and I'll be reading on the NIV. It says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered in it, placing his hands on Saul. And he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And in verse 18, it goes on to say, "Immediately something like scale fell from his eyes, and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." And so now the Holy Spirit is in his life. So now the way he behaved before was contrary to God, contrary to Jesus. But now that he's had a personal encounter, a personal relationship with Jesus, now he's ready to be obedient to God, ready to follow God. And God told Ananias that Saul was going to have a tough time spreading his word. And immediately as he turned from the things that were contrary to God or the things that were antichrist to God and to Christ, his journey as a disciple, as a witness for God, it was a rough road. And you see that all through the Bible, Sheila G., that when they've turned from the things of the world and they've turned to God and they begin to start acting godly, that's when the enemy turns up the heat. And it's almost like a bullying effect. And he wants to bully you, and he wants to tell you, you know, hey, you know, you were doing all right, you know, until you got on this God thing. And so he turns it up. And I don't know what I think sometimes people sugarcoat it or you know, think that once you're saved that, you know, everything's going to be la-di-da-di, everybody, and skip to Lou, my darling. But mm-hmm. The Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches that, you know, if we are going to be a part of Christ, if we're gonna reign with him, we're going to suffer with him. And everyone has to pick up their cross.
Right.
And you know, we all have to be willing to do what our Heavenly Father has instructed us to do. And when we look at this next section, we'll see that immediately Saul, who was persecuting the church, now gets persecuted because he's turned to the church. In other words, it got flipped around. And so he was persecuting the church. But now that he's turned to God, he's received the Holy Spirit, now he's become one of the persecuted. And we'll look at this in verse 20 through 31. So let's look at verse 20. Well, the end of verse 19, he says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. In verse 20, it says, "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God." So now he has a totally different message. But because of his previous behavior, people gave him a second look. Mm-hmm. And in verse 21, he says, all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? In other words, there was this sharp contrast of where he was before he got knocked off his high horse to the way he was now.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times what happens is the enemy will come in and people will talk about your past.
Right.
Talk about when you was a prostitute. Talk
right.
about when you was a drunk. Talk
right.
about you when you was a thief. Talk about you when you was in prison. Talk about you when you was a lion. Talk about when you were this and when you were that. And then when you say that I've received the Holy Spirit, I'm received God and I'm a child of God, I'm a disciple, trust Jesus, when you were the one talking about, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff, get out of my face with that Jesus stuff. And now here you are, live and in color, because when you get saved, that doesn't negate the fact, Sheila G., of all the stuff that you did.
Right.
it just says that you are forgiven.
Right.
The stuff that you did. It doesn't change all the stuff that you did. And so a lot of times people will become discouraged when people start talking about, get out of my face, man, you was like this, you was like that. And so the enemy comes at you hard. I mean, he'll come at you hard and say, yeah, you saved, but you did this, you did this, you ain't saved. The people say, yeah, you did this, you did this, you did this. And so it's a thing of you really have to rely on the Holy Spirit, because the guilt and the shame, people will try to put that on you and try to put those handcuffs back on you, Sheila G.
Amen, amen. It's really interesting that you would say that, because when I actually spoke this past Sunday, and I was coming, I think it was like, suit up and put on your spiritual weapons. Suit up and fight, put on your spiritual weapons. And I was taking it from the whole armor of God. And
mm-hmm.
One of the examples that I gave in the beginning was how before he says put on the whole armor of God, part of that scripture he says be strong and stand. And he was talking to the church of, I think it was Ephesus, because they were newly converted. And so he was telling them, okay, now Satan's going to come after you, so you need to put on all armor, the sword of the spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, all of that. And one of the examples I gave was when people join the church, one thing that Pastor Gregory always tells them, that be ready, because now that you've made that decision to walk for Christ, you are saved. But Satan's going to make you feel bad.
Yep.
As soon as you walk out that door, he's going to come at you. Do not be discouraged. And when we do the right hand of fellowship, he gives them a gift, not only a Bible, which is a sword of the Spirit, but also scriptures of how to pray and those type of things. And I was saying that these are the weapons that we have to have. And then at the end, I made the comment about when you look at everything in Ephesians 6, all the pieces of armor that God gives us to fight the enemy, because he said it's a spiritual warfare. It's not flesh and blood. Now, Satan will flesh and blood, but he doesn't cover your back, and he doesn't cover your back for what you just said. Once you have turned and been converted and given your life to Christ, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. So he doesn't want us to look back. Satan wants you to look back, but he doesn't want you to look back. Plus, God at that point has your back, and that's the same thing. And that's throughout the Bible. It is throughout the Bible, you know, even through that. And that's what Satan will do. He will try to get you to look at the fleshly things, because even in this scripture, they're talking about what he did as a man. They're not talking about what he – they're looking at the outer man instead of the inner man. And that's the one thing that when we're converted and we – are saved by the grace of God, that's a spiritual salvation. It is not a physical one. And God is ultimately the one that can be the judge of us and that forgives us. Man is just man. And as we're reading this scripture, it's the people that are talking. But Satan is using people. But if you put on that whole armor, you'll see later in Ephesians when he talks about this is why, because of what he's experiencing. But when you put on that whole, you can fight the enemy when he's coming at you, especially when he's using people to come at you.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was baptized, and the Spirit of God lightened upon him like a dove, and he came out of the water, and you had the Trinity there, you had the Father, who said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased," and you had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there, and this is the example to us that we need the Holy Spirit in order to do ministry. We need the Holy Spirit of God to be able to guide us, because we do live in the flesh. And that they say that the Holy Spirit is a paraclete. A paraclete is a Greek word that means helper. It's to help us. And we can't minister in our earthly vessel without the paraclete or the Holy Spirit, our helper, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I was sitting here thinking, because it's through the Holy Spirit that we get our power. And once we have become converted, then that's when the real work starts. And there's no way in the world that we can do all that the Lord would have us to do in the flesh. As you and Sheila have said, you know, the enemy attacks us through the flesh. And when you're dealing with people, you know, as you said, people are going to always bring up the past, what you used to do. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, that Holy Spirit, your feelings can easily get hurt. You can say, "Look, forget this. It's not worth it." Trying to preach to the same folk that I was running with. There's so many variables involved in that. So it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that, as you said, that Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct you. And it will, you know, we talk about how it keeps us until the day that the Lord comes back. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can walk and do the things that God wants.
Amen. 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 And this is what Saul is experiencing, and you know, this is going to be his first taste, if you will, or experience with being on the other side of this thing, and once these people were astonished at that this was the fella, and they start talking about his past, and in that verse 21, the second part of verse 21, it says, "And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest?" Now, these are the disciples. These are the, I would call them, church folk.
Yep.
but I mean, it is folk. It is folk, and they're looking, and they're watching. And that's what I tell people. It's you have to be careful. Being saved is a careful walk. It's not an easy walk. It's a careful walk. You have to be careful that you don't become a stumbling block to someone who might be new in Christ. That even though you might be saved for 100 years, the new convert, you can watch, but you can't get to a place where you're beating them down and not encouraging them, because you become a stumbling block. And when you become a stumbling block, then their growth or their fulfillment of their assignment or calling becomes hindered because you aren't careful about how you treated them. It's sort of like a new convert is like a new baby, a new babe. And you have to be careful. You just can't pick the baby up any kind of way. You got to pick them up. You got to make sure the head doesn't sag. You got to make sure that the water is not too hot, or the soap is not too harsh, and the laundry that you do or the food that you feed them is adequate for whatever age or development of their digestive system. You got to you got to nurture them along so they can get to that grown-up person that could go and take care of themselves, feed themselves. But we have to make sure that we're careful that we don't stunt that growth or become a stumbling block. And so this part of this section of Acts, 9 chapters, is letting us know that we should always prepare people like Dr. G does, and prepare them that, you know, it's going to get a little rough. It's going to get a little rough. But if you have the right support system, and that's with anything in life, you have the right support system, when times get rough, you can make it. And that's what Christians all over this world during this global pandemic, Sheila G, is they're saying Christians who have the right support system continue to survive, to continue to thrive,
right,
continue to follow the what Caesar has said, but in that old spirit, continue to trust God that He will make ways for us to continue to worship, continue to be sustained, because we know that He is our sustainer. He is the one that we can say that we're like a tree planted by the river's waters that bringeth forth fruit in its season. And we know that He is the source of our supply. And so we can, in the midst of pandemics, in the midst of trials, in the midst of going through, know that God is going to be our sustainer, and the Holy Spirit will give you that comfort. You know, the Bible teaches that if we keep our minds stayed on Him, that He will keep us in perfect peace. And so we have to nurture, we have to have patience with our converts, with young and old, to know that you know, we're following God. We're powered by the Holy Spirit. We can truly do all things through Christ, because He'll give us the strength. And prayer service and Bible study and conversations with each other, encourage each other as we see difficult days coming. That's why the Hebrew writer said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because you see the days coming. You see those things coming that we need help and comfort, and that's what Jesus said when he before He ascended. He said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I'll send you another Comforter," and that is the Holy Spirit. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why it's really important when we go through times like these, especially those of us that are followers of Christ, that we lean not to our own understanding. I think a lot of things got exposed in the church body as a whole when this pandemic came across, because we were trying to look at it, you know, some of us were trying to look at it from our carnal eye instead of the spiritual eye. So you had a lot of the churches, or a lot of the, especially down south, some of the evangelical churches that were like, I trust in God. So even though there's a pandemic, we can still meet, and no government's going to tell me that we can't meet. But, you know, the Bible says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, render unto God what is God. And they were leaning to their own understanding, not God's understanding. And you have to listen to what God is leading you to, and He will tell you to do the impossible. So it's not so much that it has to make sense to us. You know, we're not to think with our mind, our carnal mind, but with our spiritual mind. And so when you when you're led by the Spirit, God will lead you to, okay, then just like when you go, I immediately thought about Exodus, when that one came through and God told them to put the blood on the door, which makes no sense, and to stand and pray from a human eye, that isn't logical, but from a spiritual, okay, if this is what God said do, we're going to do it. And then what happened? That plague passed right through. The death angel passed right past their door. And that's what God is calling us to do. He's like, okay, yeah, you can say you're going to go in the building. You can say you're going to bring your people, and then all these people get sick and die. But that's you doing it. But if I put you as a spiritual leader, then I expect you as a spiritual leader to do it as I say, not so much to be a man pleaser, but to put your faith and your trust in me and lean not to your own understanding. And when you do that, then that spirit, you're leaning on God's faith, you're leaning on God's spirit, is more powerful than if you were in the church. Like you said, when Tamika was going through hers, we sent the message around. Everybody was texting. Everybody was sending her songs. And everybody, you know, was just there. We got you. We've been praying for her. And when we saw her, we were just giving God the glory. Even though she was not 100%, but she still dialed in. When she could not breathe, when she could not talk, and she, but she had her cell phone. We could see when we did the Zoom call that she dialed in. Just hear the word of God. And every so often she'd type a little chat, say amen, or just raise her hand, give God the praise. And I believe that's how she won that spiritual warfare. But too often we want to lean to our own understanding. We want to figure out God. We want to tell God what to do, what couldn't happen. But then we want to say, want to justify when we're doing it in our own flesh and say, well, this is what the Lord told me. Well, if the Lord told you to do that, why are you standing up there, one, as a lead pastor, saying, I'm not afraid to die? Then you die, and then you're telling everybody to give the family privacy, but you've also infected your whole church because of what you felt, not what God has led you to do. And sometimes, I mean, I remember in at New Hope, they were locked at, when they were having services at the school. We were having service at the school, and a janitor didn't show up. So they were locked out. Well, we didn't go home. We had service under a tree.
Up underneath
a tree. You know, when the furnace went out in our church for three, 4 months, we had church in our basement. You know, and so as you go, now we have this one. Now we're using the electronics. But again, God laid it out. Now, of course, the enemy tried to Mister that too, but by putting on our whole armor and listening to God, not leaning into our own understanding, God still can get the glory. God is going to get the glory out of this, but by the same token, he's exposing all this hatred and letting everybody know that he is all powerful. So you're either going to follow him or you're going to get left behind.
Amen. 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 That is so true. Dr. G, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, another thing, when you think about the pandemic, it's bringing, regardless of what number 45 says and does, it's bringing people, the goodness out of people, and people are banding together.
Yeah.
Now, those that are serious about the about what they're doing, you can tell it and you can see it. I mean, never before have you seen nurses and doctors and, you know, frontline people get the exposure, as well as people just saying thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kids are, you know, doing little notes of thank you and giving it to the sanitation workers. All of these things are going on. Yeah, you've still got some of these idiots that, you know, that they want their freedom, they want their rights, but the good is overshadowing the bad.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about, you know, as Christians, you know, I found that during my ministry, part of my job is to try to encourage people to find ways of keeping that spirit alive. And the Lord, and you talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will let you know how he wants you to do it. When our conference line couldn't get on that, folk got lazy. But then as soon as we could, we got Zoom. And it took a little bit of folks used to it. And then what I did, this again, the Holy Spirit leading you out, I told folk we want to try and make this Zoom, this virtual church, as close to possible as to what we're having at church. And it's alive. People are alive. People are feeling something. And, and again, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. And now you've got some, you know, they talk about, well, look, I just can't get with Zoom. I just can't get with this conference line. And, you know, I have to be in the building. Shows you where their mindset is. And again, as Sheila was saying, lean not to your own understanding. So their spirits are not being fed. They're still slow walking, and they're still making excuses as to why they can't. And this is all part of the enemy's tactics.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And if you study the book of Revelation, that when the churches have been raptured and the tribulation period is coming, there's witnesses that come and witness on behalf of God, that in the book of Revelation, technology is spoken about. In the first century, they said that everyone around the world would be able to see the witnesses once they were killed get back up. And they were killed, and they were like giving gifts and celebrating how that the witnesses of God were killed, but in 3 days they were raised back up and they were witnessing again, and it said that they would be seen around the whole world. And so if you look how long ago the Bible was written, Sheila G, and to see that, people say, how is everybody going to be able to see this happen around the world? And God revealed it to John the Revelator that this would be the technology that they will be able to see this. And so what we have is when you dial into Zoom, when you dial in, not dial in, but when you are on this thing called the World Wide Web, www, you know, Blog Talk Radio, Zoom. And so we need to look and say we're getting closer to the rapture of the church and the tribulation than we really realize. To understand that God is saying about those seven churches, once y'all get that right, the church is going to be raptured, and these things are going to happen. And they're saying the technology is going to be there where when these witnesses who are killed raise up again after people are partying in the street and they're sending each other gifts because these witnesses who came and performed miracles are dead, but now they're risen. People will be able to see it, and this lets us know that the Word of God and the Spirit of God is so powerful that it can look down the quarters of time and prophesy what we're going through right now.
Amen. Amen. It is definitely there, and that is why it's so important for us to draw close and. You know, I was saying on prayer service last night that it's important that this is an opportunity. God is slowing us down.
Amen.
To reach out to those that maybe we haven't talked to in a while.
Right.
Reach out to those that maybe we weren't as close to as we needed to be. To encourage others because it's not too late.
Amen.
It's never too late. But we, disciples of Christ, need to spread God's word. And this is the best opportunity for us to do that so that people can have another chance that may not have, that their lives have been too busy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But now they're saying that, oh, my goodness, this is happening across the seas, across the world. Nothing's untouched.
Yes.
It's visible.
Amen.
So it's not even like you get, like a car that's about to hit you. You can get out the way. It's invisible. So all you can do is trust in God. But it is really important for us now as Christians to spread that word.
Amen.
You know, to take that opportunity to say that it is not too late to be saved. But once you give your life to Christ, you need to pray. You need to study his words. Because like you said in Revelations, he's telling us about the signs of the times. But throughout the Bible, he tells us how to have good living and how to deal with it. He tells us what to do, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. He tells us, yea, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He tells us on that whole armor of God. He tells us to lean not to our own understanding. He tells us the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So he's putting all these things in place to help us to deal with. So in other words, he's not saying jump into the end, but he's like, you can enjoy life right now if you just follow me. You can enjoy the trip. And I think that's the one thing that we need to drive home. So many times as Christian leaders, we just gloom and doom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rapture's going to come and you're going to be, everything's going to be bad, this, that, and the other. We've all sinned. We've all done wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we put our hand in God's hand. We trust in him. We can enjoy the trip. till the day comes that we have to close our eyes. Mm-hmm. And we can enjoy that trip knowing that we're saved, knowing that we're being led by the Holy Spirit, knowing that people and things and situations may hurt us, but God can heal us, whether it be our mind, body, or soul.
Preach. Amen. Amen. And we're going to see Paul experience that. If we go back to the word, we're going to see Paul, he got more powerful. So when you look at verse 22, Acts 9, verse 22, he says, yet Saul grew more and what? More powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. In other words, he got stronger and stronger in the word and the power of God. And that's what the testing of our faith, the testing does. It comes to make us stronger. With the trying of our faith, James says it works patience in us. It gives us something. And so as he was beginning to get tested, he began to get stronger and stronger in his commitment to God and to his preaching, and to the point where the Holy Spirit was transforming him. And you know, that's what in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he begins this transformation of renewing his mind as a child of God who's filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to become a strong witness for God. And that's what God's looking for in this time. He's looking for people to become more and more powerful about their witness and their testimony for God. Dr. G.
Well, and in order to do that, it's up to us to make up in our minds that we want that walk with Christ. After the scales falls off our own eyes, we have to really pick up that cross and follow after Christ. It can't be, you know, a thing where we're talking a good game. You've got to do it. And as Sheila was talking about, you know, now the Lord is taking all of the excuses away. Mm. We've got plenty of time. Those are folk that are working at home, they're working at home. What excuse can we use for not calling in the prayer service or a Bible study? Because we're tired. Yeah, maybe, but you could be dead. And I've heard so many people talk about how bored they are. I remind them, well, you could be dead, but at least you're bored and alive. And, you know, you have to consider all of these things. And, you know, the Lord is continuing to do what he has to do. But one thing that we as Christians have to continue to do is to love. God is giving us and showing us how we have to have love for one another.
Amen. 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 Let's look at verse 23. And again, I'm reading this verse in the NIV. He says, after many days had gone by, there was, and this is one of the words that you hear so often in today's vernacular. There was a conspiracy. Conspiracy. It's like among the Jews to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing new under the sun, my brothers and sisters. There's always a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Or a plot to thwart the work of the Lord. And it can come from inside the church, it comes from outside the church, it comes from religious institutions, it comes from political institutions.
Yep.
But there's always this plot, this conspiracy, as the NIV said, the King James says, and after many days were filled, the Jews took counsel to kill him.
Hmm.
In other words, there's this ongoing manipulation, if you will, against the church. But God wrote in his word, he said, when he spoke to Peter, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But there's always something, and Saul's experiences this firsthand, that you never, and I don't know how many churches people have been in or whatever, what their experience has been in churches since they've grown up, but there's always like this committee to destroy the church, either from the inside or from the outside, to take down the leader from the inside or the outside. But he'll work in the choir, or he'll work in the community, the people in the neighborhood. He'll work in whether it's the deacons. It'll work in the ushers, or it'll work in this group over here, this group. But there's always this conspiracy to kill the church, and it's just like from the beginning, and you can follow the bloodline of Jesus all the way from Moses when he was a little child. They were trying to kill the children by drowning them in the Nile. And then Jesus, Herod, he was trying to kill the children that were 2 years younger because he was scared the Messiah was coming. And they tried to, you know, to destroy the bloodline that came down to Jesus going on the cross. And so there's a conspiracy. I don't care whether it's inside the church, outside the church, whether it's political or religious, we shouldn't be, and we have to be careful through the power of the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't be part of the council or the conspiracy to kill the church. Sheila G.
Amen. And that goes back to what we were talking about, how not being the building has kind of forced us to focus on God. I think a lot of times when, because we have that building, because Sunday, 11 o'clock, religiously, traditionally, everybody would go to the church building, and I think we had become legalistic in that it was out of habit, it was out of tradition, and we weren't being led by the Spirit. Well, the Lord took that away. So you can't have the little conspiracies and the little cliques, the little people that come into church and talking about this one and that one. It's like, okay, so now I've taken those little instruments that you were using, you know, out of tradition. Now all you can do is rely on the Spirit, and it's either going to be the good Spirit or the bad Spirit. And that so he kind of like took the avenue away or the instrument away that allowed those conspiracies to be formed in more easily and refocused everybody's attention on either you're going to follow him or you're going to follow Satan and those that Satan is using.
Amen. Dr. G, I know you've been in ministry over 50 years, but it always seems like there's some type of conspiracy that keeps the people from doing the work of the church, to keep them from getting to, and two Thursdays ago, is verse 31 is where we're trying to get to. Verse 31, I'm going to read it, and we're going to go back to verse 23. Verse 31 says, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed a time of peace, and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and increased in number." Read that same verse in the NIV. In the King James, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." This is what the enemy's job is. This is what he creates these conspiracies. But every church that I've experienced, there's always been this conspiracy, this council that would try to get us to turn on each other or turn on the church, so the church can't multiply, that it can't be strengthened, that it can't be edified, that it can't have peace. And like Sheila G said, God is revealing to us that all those things that divided us are being laid bare, and we should be able to see the conspiracy or the council things that try to kill the church, and should be able to say and identify them and move away from them. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, along with that too, it takes strong leaders that are Spirit-filled to stand against that kind of junk going on. I have seen it. I've had to live through it. I've had to deal with it. And it's real. When you've got people within the church, officers and choir members, and like you said, usher, it doesn't matter what position they hold, but when they get in their feelings and they begin to rationalize and they begin to think that they know more than what the pastor knows, and then they want to do X, Y, and Z, then, as you said, they want to call a meeting. Mm-hmm. They want to meet with the pastor. They want to call a church meeting, and, you know, they've got concerns, or they, you know, I don't want to hear nothing about problems. Well, we got concerns, and I've lived through that kind of stuff, and I guess that's why I'm at where I'm at now, where the Spirit has revealed to the leaders, you stand, you be strong, trusting in me, because if you give into that mess, these folk are have you going crazy, pulling out and just saying, forget it. That's what happened with Moses when he hit the rock. He just
That's
should
right.
have listened to the Lord, been obedient, and he would have been fine. But people will get on your nerves to the point where, you know, they're so wishy-washy.
Yeah.
And right now, again, the excuse-making has been taken from them. As Sheila say, either you're going to serve the Lord or you're not. There is no middleman. And nobody is going to fall for that junk thing. But again, it takes strong leaders who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul had to get to that point.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. To kill, that's a serious word. To kill, and verse 23, it says to kill. They were going to kill him. They were going to kill him, and so when you understand what you're against, God will begin through the power of the Holy Spirit. We go back to verse 34, and we're going to go to the phone line. In verse 24, he said, "But Saul learned of their plan." And this is the thing that we have to understand is God knows the beginning from the end. God wants to give us verse 31. And even though the weapon is formed, the Bible lets us know that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper.
That's right.
And getting from verse 20 to verse 31, the weapons are going to be formed. And tonight we need to understand that the weapons are going to be formed. The church has to stand. The church will get attacked. And we, through Bible study, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through praise and worship, through leaning and depending on God, we have to understand that it won't prevail. It'll come at you.
Right.
And every child of God has been attacked.
Yep.
But God will reveal, you know, those plans, and in the King James it says, and they but they're laying awake was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. You know, as they plotted, he found out they were waiting for him to come out to kill him, and again the gates of hell shall not prevail. When we're studying this word of God, God is letting us know this thing is real, and I think people are getting the message, Sheila G, that this thing is real, and it's time for the church to shine. It's time for the church to shine. It's time for us to be like that city that's set up on a hill that shines light in darkness, and that's what we should look forward to doing every day. We can't hide our light under a bush. We got to let it shine. And if trouble comes our way, listen to God. Listen to his Spirit. And he'll deliver you. He'll deliver us all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us from them all. And just want to ask the question tonight, you know, that question, what through the power of God's Spirit, what has he delivered the church from, or what you can see has delivered us from? I know you had a testimony about Miss Tamika, that she has been delivered from the COVID virus, and just ask, you know, through this time, what has God delivered you from? And it didn't have to be anything from long ago, but just from now, just from this present time. So go to the phone lines. We go to the first caller, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
One of the things that God has delivered me from, and he's still working with me, is fear, not being afraid, and trusting him.
Amen.
And one of the things that I shared with some of the prayer wars on Tuesday morning was, you know, it's not a person that this coronavirus has not affected. And people have had all types of feelings, all type of anxieties, because we're human and there's so many unknowns. But as we go on and we study and we pray more, we trust God more, he make us stronger. He builds us up.
Yeah.
We
Amen.
Are stronger today than we were 2 months ago.
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
When we begin to say, Lord, you know, it's some things I'm a little bit fearful about. I don't quite understand it, but I know you in control. Help me. Then that's when God's Holy Spirit can come in and minister to us. But we have to admit to him, you know, that we need his help. Because if we don't let God know that we need his help to get us through these various difficult times in our life, and we can do it all by ourselves, then, we're going to come to realize one day that we're up against the wall. Because all our help, all our strength come from the Lord. And when we begin to confess our faults, when we begin to say, Lord, I need help in this area, then God strengthen us. And one thing that I want to also say, not only Paul here, not only he had to face the people who wanted to kill him by himself, God had fixed it so that the disciples was there with him. So it
That's
was
right.
a unity there. And
yeah.
verse 23, it said, then the disciples took him by night and let
yep.
him down
mm-hmm.
by the wall in a basket. And so God already had a plan.
Yep,
he was
yep.
working with the disciples to help Saul out. And that let us know that when we come together as a unified
yeah.
body in the church and we're doing God's agenda, we're doing God's plan, and we are trusting him, he will put the right people at the right time to help
yeah.
us. We don't have to fight that battle by ourselves. God will give us the strength, and he will put some people there to help us. And God don't need a whole lot of people. He just a couple.
That's right.
He can get it done with just a few people, but he will
Amen.
Send someone to help us to fight that battle.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And go to our next caller. Our last 4 digits, 6309. 6309, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. God has delivered me from so many things, so many. He's delivered me from my own mouth. He taught me how to speak, and he then showed me how to be quiet and keep it shut. He's delivered me from the way I think about certain things. He's given me the right perspective. You know, he's shown me it's just a line of fairness that he'll show you. You can't be judge of nobody, you know. So he's helped me with that, and I'm so very happy. I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, that I was like that. But I know I'm better now. So I don't care who knows, you know. So, and he's also taught me how to humble myself, you know, because when you humble yourself, you step back. You don't
That's
have to
right.
make a decision one way or the other. You step down and you let God handle it. You just go with the flow. You do what God asks you to do, and that's it. But humility is a very, very great thing that we all need, and I know I needed it, and he's shown me so much of how to do that, and I'm so happy. And it also makes the person happy, too. It makes you happy. To
Amen.
To humble yourself, to let somebody else go, you know? You know, you can't take possession over things. And he just has shown me how to be used by him. Like the sister just said, not being afraid to go to do the prayer, not being afraid to do the scripture. Not, I mean, he just shows you, you know.
Amen.
And that allows him to use you when you get up there, because just like she said, he is going to put the words in your mouth, but you got to be willing to go up there to do it. You know what I'm saying? He's going to put the words in your mouth. He's going to help you. He's going to send somebody help. He's going to make sure you do it, because you're working for him, and he's doing something for you when he put that on you to go do something. So I'm just thankful that I have that learned about being humble, because that's going to help me a lot. So I'm just thankful he delivered me from a lot of other things, but I ain't going to go there, but because it's okay. I can just tell them. Okay, such and such, I said, no, that was the old me. I'm a new creature in Christ, and I ain't got to explain nothing to you. I ain't got to beg your pardon or none of that. You know why? Because God,
that's right,
saved me. I don't have to explain nothing to nobody. He knows me. So I don't care what you think. You know what I'm saying? So thank you anyway.
Amen.
Man.
Amen. So thank you for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343, you on
air. Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, I have to go back to years ago. You know, I had to go back. And when I wasn't with God, I knew of God, and Grandma always taught me God, but then still I didn't listen to all the things that she told me and taught me the things. So I never saw this day that how we are today. We saw polio and certain TB and all that kind of disease and whatnot that came up with us through my life and come on and on. I have never seen God work this way. But he always turns around, no matter what you do. He turns around and clear it up, and then he puts you back on your feet and put you straight out again and have you to watch and how he works. And if you don't listen to him and you don't know what you're doing, just sit down and grab the word that the grandmama used to give you and start seeing how God works the way he works. And he turned it this way that he done surprised everybody now, and let them know that how he can work. And it's so good to see him, how he works. This is so, just knock you to your knees and just show you how strong he is. And I just can't explain it to you, but it's fun to me to look at. And I just love to see him and work with his God. And I saw him when he knocked Saul on his knees and he put it on his on his back. Now he got the devil chasing his, because he's chasing and kill everybody else, but now he's running too. So you have to watch his back, and now we have to watch our back, because they're scared now. They don't know what God gonna do next. But we know he's strong, and whenever you step out and do with him, God is with you all the way. But you
That's
not
right.
Your world, it's God's world.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 4129. 4129, you on there? 4129.
Hello. I'm here. This is Tamika.
Hey, Mika.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Tamika.
I'm a little winded. That's why I didn't join earlier. So I don't want to say too much, but.
God bless you.
I'm just truly blessed. He has delivered me from infection, disease, sickness, out of darkness, pain, fear. He's just truly, truly blessed me and made me stand still and just believe in him and know that, you know, I mean, I already believed in him, but this has really changed and shown me just the little things, not to take the little things for granted, like being able to take a deep breath. I just thank him and give him all glory and honor. He has helped me not to to just give him praise anywhere and everywhere I am. I was in the ICU praising him at night, praising him.
Uh-huh.
you know, just I just truly thank him, and he has shown me and taught me how to stand still and listen to him, and yeah, just to hold myself, I guess, accountable and study his word more, and tell others and share my story, and, you know, just the little things, just be grateful for and thankful for.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. Truly, God has blessed us. Powerful,
amen.
Powerful testimony. Just to be able to take a deep breath. Praise
amen.
God.
Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We thank God for Tamika and for him answering the prayers of the righteous. They avail much, and we thank God for those who prayed and continue to pray. We're going to go to that next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you on there?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I would say that God has delivered me from myself. You know, I remember a time when I was kind of moving how I wanted to move, and I was always one making excuses for why certain things weren't happening. I wasn't able to look myself in the mirror and, you know, acknowledge that a lot of my faults and a lot of things I complained about weren't as a result of just fate or just a result of others, but it was actually the result of how I was living life, you know? So I, you know, asked God to, you know, give me an eye to be able to see and be able to understand that the error in my life was due to the error of my ways. But God had to say, look, you got to change. Like, it's not everybody else. You're the common denominator. So I had to watch who I hung around. I had to watch certain things that I spoke into existence and see how they came back full circle in my life. You know, I had to start church. I know you guys touched on it, not just going to church, but actually saying, okay, this is just a routine, something I do every Sunday, but actually go pay attention, get involved, take something from it and apply it to my life. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to start getting serious about God. I also had to start trusting in God. God shouldn't have been the last person I reached out to when I was going through something. Things was bad. I tried it my way. I tried it all these other ways that my friends had told me, but I should have looked to God first and foremost. You know, I also had to make sure that I put right people in my life and obtain a strong support system. As you know, God puts people in your lives for certain reasons. So I had to make sure that I had, you know, built that up. So that way in the midst of a struggle or some kind of issue that I was going through or was inflicted by, I could call on certain individuals that could pray me out of it or give me a scripture or give me a word. But, you know, that was all things that I had to do. You know, I'm not one to make excuses now, but, you know, it took a long time for me to get to where I'm at now, and I'm definitely not looking back, but I definitely remember when it was all about me and less about God. So once God delivered me from myself, made me realize and humble me, as somebody I mentioned that they were humbled, then I realized, you know, what my true purpose was and also what my mission was as a Christian. You know, we all have to take this walk. God may give us different tasks to do while we're on this journey, but at the end of the day, we're all aiming and striving for the same goal. And, you know, also had to think about others, you know, put others in front of me. And God said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about yourself. You take care of others who may not be where you're at, and I'll make sure somebody looks out for you, you know. So I had to trust in God. And I think that's the most difficult part, you know, and I'm speaking on myself. Others may feel the same way. But it's hard when you're human, when you can't always touch and see and feel and be able to call, but you're just trusting that, you know, what you read in the Bible is true, and trusting that this God we serve is here, his presence, even though we can't smell it or touch it or feel it or text it or go on social media and say, hey, let me see how God's doing, what God, you know, we can't interact with it so much, but you have to have the ultimate faith to know that God is the Most High, and God is the one that controls all of it. So that was probably my biggest hurdle that I had to get over, fully putting my trust in God, not just saying it because it sounds good, not just trying to put on a show for people who may not be in church, but actually living it. You know, it's one thing that we talk about. We read these scriptures and we sing these songs and we say all these things, but are we living it? And I wasn't living, you know, and I had my wake-up call. I had my close encounters with a lot of things where, you know, there was a time where I thought I may not even make it to 2020. But I thank God that God allowed me to get it. God allowed me to understand. God allowed me to apply, most importantly, you know, and allowed me to change. I had a lot of friends I grew up with that never changed, still doing the same thing, and they're no longer here for one reason or the other. So I just thank God that he saved me from myself, because we all can remember a time when we were in certain places where we'd be like, man, how did I come out of that? And I realized it was God. It wasn't me. I was just lucky. I was one of the lucky ones that God just spared and allowed me to, you know, be able to live a life and be able to change. So I appreciate that every day, and I don't take it for granted. But, you know, we have to get serious about it. But for me, God saved me from myself, and I can't thank him enough, love him enough. If I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't praise him enough for what God has done in my life and will continue to do in my life. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your testimony tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 5904. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Right now, you know, listen to everybody. One of the things that I always think about, sometimes I don't know how to control my tongue in certain situations, and it gets me in trouble, but then again, I ask God to put a brow on my tongue and, you know, control it, since I couldn't control it. And one thing I hear is that you got to be careful what you ask for from God, because he just might give it to you. And there's situations where I have been in, and I'm really thankful that he did keep my tongue, because it could have went a different way. So, I'm, you know, he's still working on that, you know, and I know that I have to give my will to him so he can do it, you know, and not fight it, you know, because I want to do it. It's not about I. It's about what would he do if he was in that situation. How would he handle it? So I have to start focusing on that more. But I'm still in the process of being worked on.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. Let me go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8604. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And I just wanted to thank God for delivering me from ignorance, believing that control and that the buck stops with me. And he has shown me time and time again that all power is in his hand.
That's
and,
right.
You know, everything is just, I just have to let go and let God. A lot of the times, as a man, as a husband, as a father, I have to be that example of strength. But I had to realize that I don't get the strength from my own will. I just don't. That it actually comes from a different place. So I had to let go of those old ways of thinking and those old ways of doing, and realizing that when I stumble and I fall, that I don't call on myself to pick myself up, but I call on Jesus.
Amen.
And I pray to him.
Amen.
To lift me up. And once I started realizing that that was a pattern, and I had to step back and reexamine, realize that I'm leaning on him. So,
amen.
That's what it is. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless
amen.
You.
Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 5310. 5310, you on there?
Good evening.
Good evening.
The Lord is working with me and still working with me. For me, I had to learn about being patient. I would always do things for myself. And I learned that there's times when I have to step back and be patient and let someone else do for me. Or the Lord has put people in my life or whatever I may be doing where I was at the point in time I would just do it myself. But then I had to learned that if we were working together, then I, you know, had to let go and let God show me that, you know, sometimes, you know, in this walk, you're not by yourself. Sometimes you have to be patient and let him work on you while you're going through. And
that's what I'm
still working. That's what he's still working on in me. And that's what I'm still asking him, you know, to give me patience. And right now, being home, teaching from home, I have to be patient, and wait on the Lord. And he will deliver us from all. So that's
right.
All I have to say. So everyone have a blessed one. Love you.
Yeah, love you too.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to one more caller. Last four digits, 1510. 1510, you're on there.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. I'll say he has taught me how to follow the signs. Because I'm really, like, it comes to a point where sometimes when you need to let situations and things go, you don't. You continue to hold on to them until they become detrimental to your health. And it got to a point where I was working, and I knew I should have left before I got sick, but I was trying to hold on because I don't like depending on others as much as I do now. Like, I still hate, it's a pet peeve of mine. I don't like depending on anyone, my mom included. But I know that now, by me not working and, like, starting something new, that's something that I have to do.
Amen.
So he's working on me with that. He's working on me with, sometimes not saying anything. Because sometimes when people say things to you, it was hard for me to, like, let it go and don't say anything back. So he's working on me with that, because I light you up in a heartbeat. if it was something that I didn't appreciate you saying to me, or if you giving me good advice and I just didn't want to hear it, I let you have it. So, like, he's still, to this day, he's still working on me with everything.
Amen.
And I'll say since coming to New Birth, I have seen the change. I'm more open to criticism when I wasn't at first.
Bless you.
According to my mom, Benazar was born prematurely. I wasn't even supposed to survive after 5. So me being here to almost see 40 is a blessing in itself.
Praise God.
And when things happen and it make me feel down, I just sit back and think about where I have come from since then.
Amen.
Because I could, you know, after I had my son, I could have, you know, could have left the earth and not been here to raise him and whatnot. So it's like everything that happens in your life is a lesson that we all need to learn from.
That's right.
So you got to stop. Like, some things happen. You got to be like, look, I know that happened because I was doing this. So maybe if I stop doing this and do this, things go the way they're supposed to go.
Amen.
And that's what I have learned since coming to New Birth.
Bless you, sweet.
Good night. And I love you guys.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Dr. G, been a good Bible study, great testimony. We thank everybody for their words and prayers and the awesome blessing, the blessings. Tamika's on the line tonight. So, Dr. G, you have some final comments and close us out in prayer, please.
Well, really, all I can say is that, you know, we take this time, and as I keep pushing people, you know, we need to draw closer to the Lord and take this time to do just that. The enemy knows what he wants us to do, but we've got to learn how to trust God for what he wants. And if we do what he wants, he'll give us the power to do it. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening in your word. Father, we thank you for all that we've talked about, all that we've learned. Lord, I thank you for the lessons that Paul had to learn. Father, we thank you for what we've had to learn. And even now, Lord, as we continue to grow and develop, I pray, oh God, that you would continue to send down your Holy Spirit and lead, guide, and direct our paths. Father, we thank you that we're never too old that we can't learn. And Lord, I thank you for continuing to be there. Thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Father, we pray, we ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Preferably, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.